I was thinking this morning about the way that my own mother had positioned her life and the choices that she made during my lifetime to set her children up for success. I don't know if you've ever had a time of reflection where you intentionally think about the choices that other people had to make in order for you to be where you're at. I encourage it at some point because the reality is that you would not be where you're at unless someone else made a choice to build something, to invest, to sow into your life. You know, the life that you live is a result, for better or worse, of your parents and the choices that they made and the position that they set you up in, whether it was financial, physical, relational, emotional, that the platform that was created because of what your parents had done. You know, the truth is that, you know, looking at my own personal life, I can only tell my journey. I can't speak for your journey, but the journey that I went through and the choices that I watched my parents make and the sacrifices they made, they set my siblings up for success in life. And I have the opportunity to say thank you to my father, but my mother passed from this earth when I was 17 years old. And the reality of that and the hole that was left in my life personally, as I have matured into adulthood and then looking as we're raising our own children and, you know, wondering what life would be like if grandma was here. Anyone else had this experience in life? A couple of us? You know, most of us have loss somewhere in our family history. You know, and that loss has opportunity to either steal away the heritage of what those people in our lives had sown in, or you have opportunity as a person living right now in this moment to intentionally honor what others have done for you. And in your honoring of what others have done for you, what happens is that which they have sown becomes a foundation for you to stand on. If you don't honor, if you, you know, let's just say for some reason that you had a boss that was a total jerk. Now, he might have taught you the business. No one here has ever had a boss that's a total jerk, right? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the guy sitting next to you. It's fine. You're good. Unless the guy sitting next to you is your boss, in which case, awkward. Awkward. Which, looking around the room, there actually is that here. Sorry about that. You're good. But if let's just say that you were mentored into a job, you were mentored into learning skills. Well, if you don't have honor and you don't care for or you don't have an expression of thankfulness towards what someone has sown into your life, it's not just an option, but it's actually likely that you will forget the lessons they taught you or you'll treat with disdain the lessons they taught you. It's more than just possible that you could have been going farther, but because of lack of honor towards what they've done in your life, those things are no longer valued. And if you don't value them, then you won't bring them forward in your life. Am I making sense to anyone here this morning? I can even think back of the folks that maybe weren't necessarily positive influences socially, but maybe taught me some life skills. You know, I had a supervisor in the military who literally would slap me in the back of the head whenever I'd screw up. Like, he would cuff me. Boom. And it wasn't a pleasant experience. Right? Call me names. You're dumb. You're whatever. Right? This is a true experience. You know, in today's day and age, they probably get slapped with a lawsuit or something. You know, but in when I was in the military, it was, you know, it was the kinder, gentler Air Force. But it, at the same time, it still had some of those rough characters floating about it. Any GIs in here, ex-veterans here? You know what I'm talking about? Yes, okay. So I had a supervisor who literally would slap me in the back of the head. Call me dumb if I screwed up or whatever. Well, I have this moment, right, where I can go, you know what, this guy is a jerk. I'm not going to learn anything from him. I'm not going to be able to have any value moving forward from this guy. I'm just going to go ahead and write him off Like, it's just, oh, it's a lost chapter in my life, right? Move forward. I have this option, or I could realize that he actually taught me a thing or two, and I could choose then to focus on the reasons why I'm ticked, I'm bitter, I'm angry because things didn't work out the way that I think that they should have, or I could intentionally just spit the bones out and enjoy the meal. Hello. You, every one of us, students included, you have opportunity to take and receive nutrition, receive strength, receive the value that people have sown into your life. You have this opportunity every day. Or you could be offended by what they did or didn't do that you thought they should have done or didn't do. And if the offense comes, or if you get frustrated, angry, whatever, and you now cut yourself off from that life flow that's coming from them, or the opportunity for them to invest in you, if you cut yourself off because of offense, because of anger, because of something they did, we can even blame them. But if you do that, you need to realize that how heaven's life flows from one generation to the next is through honor. The inheritance of previous generations, what God has done in a previous generation, how it gets passed to the next generation, is because somebody in that generation honors what God did, therefore they value what God did, and in their valuing of what God did, they begin to care for it, nurture it themselves, and then they receive the same benefit that God did in a previous generation. Okay, are you thinking or are you looking at some of you like, come on now, I do recognize we got a bunch of visitors this morning, so you're not familiar with this, but the longer I preach is to the degree of whether I got feedback or not during the preach. If you say amen, I go, oh, I can move on. If you don't say amen, then I just think, oh, I must have to re-explain that in a different way. There you go. I didn't say anything. Stop. Agreement with silence doesn't mean I'm going to stop, all right? You know, it's funny, even this process of sharing something, the word amen, like literally means, so be it unto me. That's what the word amen means, like truly, amen, it's not just that I cognitively agree, but I'm actually saying, that which you are saying, I agree with, but I'm also saying, so be it unto me. Like I am coming into alignment with something. And so I'm not asking to be robots. You don't need to be saying amen, 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 amen. But when you hear something or when something strikes a chord in you and it's like, oh man, that's something that God's actually saying to me, to agree or to come into harmony with that is to align your own heart, align your own mind so that those same things happen in your life. Are you with me this morning? Okay, this is the same process that I'm referencing here in honor. Oh, man. This same process happens. Listen, when the Bible says, honor your father and mother, for this is right, this is the first commandment with a promise that it will go well for you. It's not about you have to agree with your mom and dad all the time. That's not what that is. It's an alignment. I am going to align my heart to value the things that God has done in their lives and done in their generation so that that same life flow that happened in them happens in me. If through dishonor I cut myself off from what God's done in a previous generation, that you don't even know what you're cutting yourself off to. You have no idea. What if your dad was Abraham? And what was sown in a previous generation was the promise for the promised land, for, you know. What if your father or your mother or that boss of yours is walking in a promise from the Lord or has something significant in their history, but because of dishonor, you actually cut yourself off from it. Maybe the only reason that you're in that job is because the Lord's trying to get you to come under that same influence. This has kind of got multiple edges to it, this word this morning. The first part of it is very simple in its application. Like, hey, you know, if you honor a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you get a righteous man's reward. If you honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. You know, the flow of honor actually determines the value that somebody can instill in your life. And this isn't just spiritual things. This is natural. This is life skills. If you don't like the way your dad changes the oil, you're probably not going to learn the system or the structure in which he changed the oil of the family car. It can go as simple as that to the extreme versions where, you know, there's some amazing impartation from heaven that God released in a previous generation. You know, the whole wide spectrum. So what am I saying? Hey, find a way to intentionally honor those who have gone before you because maybe the Lord put them in your life so that you could live under that same blessing, that same inheritance. Maybe God wants to do something in your generation that he started in previous generations. It's not supposed to end with a previous generation. It's supposed to continue through the generations. This is something I said to the students on a regular basis or have throughout the year. It didn't start with you. No matter what grand idea you think you're stewarding, it didn't originate with you. And it's not going to end with you. Unless this is the generation, the Lord comes back and boom, this, you know, the whole thing is summed up. Fine, then you get to be the last generation. Evidently, we're only sending Randy. Here. Listen. Actually, was that Dan? It was Randy. Yeah, okay. All that to say, honor your father and mother. Honor those who have gone before you. If they were a drunkard and abused and were whatever, like, this is where we get messed up. Because we're like, well, to honor, then I have to swallow all that stuff. No, you don't. You don't. Spit the bones out. Take that which is nourishing and spit the bones out. Don't get offended, and certainly don't try to choke down that chicken bone. It's going to hurt. Allow the Lord to bring the nourishment from a previous generation when you do that by positioning your heart in honor. Are you with me here? Okay. The second side of this is then the state that we put our hearts in, and this is a word to this class, commemorate this moment and to send you forth in, you know, and I know there's lots of stuff that we've discussed before, but I'm going to leave you with this one. It's for everyone's benefit, but I am speaking to you guys. This is Matthew chapter 20, and I'm going to start in verse 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. The mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons. We should just pause for a moment right there. Okay, how many moms we got in the room? Okay, moms of students. Is there any moms of students in the room today? Yes, yes, yes. Come on, go ahead and say thank you to mom. The mother of the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down, and she made a request of him. She said, "What do you wish?" Or he said, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left." Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. So he responds to the boys, hey, are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? They said, we are able. He said, my cup then you shall drink. You know what's just funny about that is that they just signed up, but they didn't know what they signed up for. My cup you're going to drink, but my right and my left is not mine to give. That right there is the moment where we go, sucka. You volunteered, and then you don't even get what you're asking for. I think Uncle Sam learned that one from Jesus. Yep. You only can groan if you said, I do, to Uncle Sam at some point. Listen, it's not mine to give, but for those who it has been prepared by my Father. Verse 24, hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. I love this moment. I do. I love this moment. Okay, why? First of all, you have the disciples, okay? And the mother of James and John, mom, brings the boys. I'm imagining by the ears. Boys, follow me. I'm going to show you how this is done. She comes up to Jesus, and she says, I'm making a request. See, you pulled my boys out of the family business. See, if what you're not remembering is that it was James and John who were working by the seashore with their father, mending nets and fishing. Family business. They're going to be fishing. Jesus comes along and goes, hey, I'm going to make you fishers of men, which means they have to leave the family business, which means that the father, Zebedee, dad, is stuck with the family business because the boys are going off to do something else. Mom comes back to Jesus and goes, hey, here's the deal. You sign my boys up. Therefore, this is my request. When you come into your kingdom, they get to be in charge. I am not sure in this moment if the request is actually being made on behalf of the boys or the family. Come on, inheritance was a way of life. Inheritance is how they thought. Family businesses were passed on. Children take care of their parents. There wasn't 401ks and retirement plans and all that jazz. That wasn't happening. Children take care of their parents. Mom comes up and goes, look, if you're going to do this, then these boys get to be in charge. Jesus looks at him and says, can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink? We can. Okay, you're going to drink it. Good job. However, it's like a recruiter. Absolutely, you can do that. Oh, yeah, you're going to sign up for the Air Force? You can fly planes, Jamie. Absolutely. Just sign on the dotted line first. Oh, sure. Jesus says, oh, sure. They sign up. Boom, you're in. Oh, by the way, it's my father. He's got to determine whether it was you that was been predestined to sit at my left and right or not. This moment, though, it's an interesting moment because the destiny of these two boys has been completely altered. Their future has been completely altered. They were going to be fishermen with their lives, and now they are fishers of men. They were going to support the family, and they were going to be a part of the livelihood, and now they no longer are. Now they're going to go give their lives because the cup that Jesus is about to drink is that he's going to go die for the faith. He's about to go die, lay his life down. And he just asked, are you going to drink this cup? Are you then willing to lay your life down to see this kingdom manifested? They say, we are. Okay, you're in. Moms and dads, your students came into this school. Many of them with aspirations of, you know, many came. It's a ministry school. We don't apologize for that. If you take the road of coming through a school like this and you encounter the Lord on a regular basis and you hear the word preached in such a way that it begins to resonate off your soul and the Lord begins to shift your destiny, it's almost impossible to go back to the way that things used to be. You you won't be able to go back to the way that things used to be. And so I'm telling congregation, I'm also telling students, the expectation on your life is that you will not go backwards from where you have come to. You're not going to go backwards. You're not going to settle back in. Now, if the Lord calls you back to the family business and you're going to go back mending nets with dad, that is awesome. Praise God. Then may the kingdom fully advance in that thing. But there's also this call, the set apart nature, when somebody says yes to the Lord and they keep saying yes to the Lord, and he then asks them, he goes, are you going to drink this cup? Are you then willing in a crazy world to be somebody who gives their life for the gospel, to see missions advance in a worldwide front where the world is nutso, to be a light in darkness? There's no promises of the future because it's not mine to give you the left and the right. I can't promise you. Well, sure, you know, you finished the school of ministry, you're going to be an associate pastor here. I'm not sure if you got the sarcasm in what I was doing there, but that's... The point is, those things have to do with calling, and they're not, those things aren't mine to give. Those things are callings of the Lord. If God's calling you into full-time ministry, you're going to pastor a church or whatever, that's awesome. Praise God. Go for it. The condition, though, that Jesus presents this, come back with me to it, the conditions around this, my cup you shall drink. The 24 were indignant with the two brothers, or excuse me, the verse 24, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. Why are the 10 angry with the two? Because they didn't think of it first. They didn't. They went and got their mommy to go. Now, if you come and introduce your mom, and then your mom asks me for a job, okay, that's the wrong approach here. They're mad because they're like, whoa, these two just positioned themselves. They just used this little to get in a position. Jesus didn't allow it, because look at what he says next. Hearing this, the 10 men became indignant. Jesus called them to himself and he said, you know that rulers of the Gentiles, that rulers, those in authority in the world, people who are in positions of authority in the world, rulers, they lord it over them. Great men exercise authority over them. This is the system out in the world. If a person is your boss, they're your boss. If they tell you to jump, you answer how high. And the reason you answer how high is not because you're like, yay, I get to jump. The reason you answer how high is because they control your livelihood. Right? Their authority is now ruling over you. The outcome of your life is being dictated to. You don't have power in that relationship. Jesus goes, hey, out there in the world, this is how authority works. It rules over. But then look what he says. And graduates of 2015, hear me. Verse 26, it is not this way among you. That is not the kingdom. If your goal is to be in charge, you are missing it. It is not that way among you. Whoever wishes to become great shall become your servant. Whoever wishes to be first shall be your slave. The Son of Man, speaking of himself, the King of creation, the one who spoke and everything came into being, the one the fullness of deity dwells in, Jesus, the Son of God, the one who has a name that is higher than any other name. This is what he says concerning himself. I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life so that many could be ransomed. Humility and honor will allow life to flow into you. If you honor people and their giftedness, you're going to learn their giftedness. You'll receive impartation. You become like the people you hang out with. It's a true statement. You become like the people you hang out with. They rub off on you. In humility and in honor, we have this opportunity to receive from previous generations. We have this opportunity to receive. But in receiving, if the position of your heart then becomes, I've received this, that means I'm great. So now I'm in charge because I have received from a previous generation. I'm stewarding, so that puts me in charge now. And now I get to tell people what to do because that's what was done to me. Are you seeing this? That is the opposite of how the kingdom works. The kingdom brings impartation and it brings inheritance from previous generations into your life to position you to be blessed, yes. But the reason you're blessed is so that you can be a blessing. Why would God pour into your life? Why would God give you giftings? Why would God cause great things to start to happen around you? Is it for you? Maybe you've never heard me say this, but spiritual gifts aren't proof of maturity. They're proof that God loves the people around you. 1 Corinthians 12 says that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is for the common good. It's for everyone else. So in receiving and in getting it and becoming one, you are one. Like, you are one. But in becoming one, in stepping across that line and going, yes, my life is forevermore changed. I'm gonna run after Christ for the rest of my life. As you make those kinds of choices, you got to realize what you're actually saying yes to. It's a little bit like Jesus. Can you drink the cup? Because if you want the results, if you want it, the way you position your heart is not as a great person. It's not somebody who, you don't do this so you can become a person of influence. You don't say yes to Christ so that you can get something out of it. That's not how this works. If he makes you great, amen. But the reason that you've become great is because he loves the people around you. It's for the positioning of helping other people get off the mat. It's for the positioning of helping other people receive impartation and get their lives turned around. All right, are you alive this morning? The school is awesome. That's the point of this whole thing. That's the point of this whole thing. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. That's Trevor's mom right there. Come on. And from Rumor, a fantastic piano player. So you should lay hands on me afterwards and impart the gift of playing piano, because... Listen, I know that the Lord's desire in each of our lives is to be a blessing to you. He wants you to be blessed. No father wants to see their children fail. He's a father. And he's an incredibly good father. He loves you. He's the father that says, no father, when their child is hungry, is going to give them a scorpion. When they ask for a piece of bread or an egg, they're not going to give them a snake or a scorpion. Like, God isn't going to, when you are asking for something good from him, he's not going to replace it with something that brings pain to your life. That's not who he is. But in his giving to you and his moving your life forward and creating opportunity and all that kind of stuff, what is the opportunity for? It's not just for you. He wants you to be blessed. He wants your life to be moving from glory to glory. You're supposed to stand on the shoulders of previous generations. You're supposed to. But in standing on the shoulders of previous generations, this thing has to mean then that the rest of the world gets opportunity to come along as well. if blessing and the presence of God and if God just did an awesome, completely mind-blowing work here and provision was here and people are getting touched by God and it's just glorious and amazing. You know, if that was to happen right now and it just, and it was going for several months, if we didn't start seeing the homeless donning these doors, if the disenfranchised or the ones who have been far away don't start getting saved, and then I would question the stewardship of why God blessed us to begin with. If you are being outrageously blessed by the Lord, and the result of it isn't that other people are also getting blessed and coming along and their lives are improving because of it, if that's not happening around you, then I would question your stewardship with what he has given you. It has to mean that others get opportunity. It has to mean that others have a platform, that other people get a chance to have their moment in the sun as well. Are you with me this morning? That's what the church is. That's what the church is. Now, you know, I'm landing the plane here. I don't, like I said, I have no problem repeating myself over and 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 there you go. I have no problem, you know, continuing to hit the nail on the head and try to reiterate this in different ways so you can walk away with this truth inside of you. But my hope is that you will walk out of this here this morning and that you will intentionally turn your heart in honor towards those who have gone before you. Find something to honor. Doesn't matter how bad it was. Find something to honor. And then that you would receive, that you would be filled up, that you'd be touched by God, and that you would go and that you would help other people to do the same. Come on, would you jump to your feet this morning? If you're coming into agreement with this stuff and maybe you've been challenged by it or whatever, I'm just going to ask you this morning just to give the Lord permission. That's it. Just give him permission. So Holy Spirit, we just give you permission. We give you permission to remind us of all that you've done in our lives previously. We give you permission, Father, to bring to our memory, Lord, those who have sown into our lives from previous generation. Lord, we're actually inviting this. And Lord, I pray for a grace, a supernatural grace to be upon this house, to be upon this people. Lord, that they would be the blessing that you bring into their life, God, that you would give them grace to be a blessing, to pass that on, Lord, to pay it forward, to bring opportunity for others, Lord, to make room, Lord, for those who have not come along. We thank you for these things. Now, Lord, I bless your people today. Would you just open yourself up? I'm just going to release the blessing of the Lord on you today. I bless your people today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May his countenance, his favor be upon your life. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding, may it guard your hearts, your minds, your ways. And everyone that dared to agree with those prayers said, amen, amen. Come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord this morning?